When we feel connected to ourselves, wholly, completely connected to ourselves, then we have love to give and we have the energy that's magnetic to others. We can walk into the room and be so lit up and bright that the people in our lives respond to us, which is fascinating.
Welcome to the Unstoppable Woman podcast, where we explore what it means to create a truly exquisite life. I'm your host, Amira Alvarez, inviting you to be part of these intimate conversations about feminine ambition, what lies beyond traditional notions of success, and how to answer the question, what's next when you've already achieved so much? Let's dive in.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Unstoppable Woman podcast. I'm Amira Alvarez. I'm the founder and CEO of the Unstoppable Woman. And today we are doing something that I love because it's what I do with my clients. This is the thing that lights me up, which is coaching, advising, supporting really super successful women to get to the next level. So today I have on the podcast, a really good friend of mine and colleague, and the owner of a very successful multi-million dollar business, Pia Silva. And before we jump into the coaching, I want to let Pia introduce herself. And why don't we do that first? And then I'll cue up what we're doing here a little bit more. So Pia, tell the world who you are and what you do.
Thanks so much for having me, Amira. I'm so excited to talk to you today, as I always am. I'm Pia Silva. I own a company called No BS Agencies. We help one to two person branding agencies scale to $30,000 to $50,000 months without employees. We have a very specific model where we shrink entire creative projects down from months to days. And I just love helping people build a business that gives them the freedom and profit and ease that they're looking for in their businesses.
Yeah, I love it too. So one of the beautiful things about Pia is that she's like I have been in a lot of rooms with Pia, and she asks the most brilliant questions to get at answers that allow her to up level. So I'm really also, you're welcome. But I think that's one of the reasons you've been able to successfully build a multi-million dollar business is that you have been unstoppable, if you will, in your ability to sort of narrow down and like learn what you don't know and up level. And I think you modeled that really well in like, hey, I don't know, how am I going to do this? So if there's anything that we talk about today, I don't even have to cue this up because I know you're going to do it anyways, but ask me the question, right? Okay. To pull it apart. So sure. What we're doing today is I had this idea to have a few of my colleagues on who are super successful women already in their lives and businesses to show the listenership that you can experience coaching at any level and get something out of it, that you don't need to be struggling, broken, you know, financially strapped, any of those things, although sometimes people come because of those things, you don't have to. You can come from a place of success and get to a higher level of success. So that is my hope and in doing these recordings. And Pia, I just want to say I'm so grateful for you for coming on this podcast and coming with your openness and your vulnerability and being willing to do this and to share whatever gets shared today. I'm just super appreciative of that. So thank you in advance. Yeah,
my pleasure. My pleasure.
So right before we started to record, P and I were discussing what she wanted to work on. And we discussed looking at the website. On my website, we have these different shadows of success. And I'll just name them for the listeners in case you haven't looked at those. And then Pia was going to tell me what she really wanted to work on. So we have shadow number one, and these are the shadows of success. These are like, you're really successful, but underneath that success, there's this little shadow that is kind of niggling at you. So shadow number one, the 4 out of 5 problem. This is where, you know, everything looks good on paper. 4 out of 5 things are great, but there's that one thing that is mucking things up and you'd like to work on that issue. Shadow number two is superwoman status. Everyone turns to you for everything. You have this persona of being exceptionally competent because you are, but it means that no one's wondering how to support you. You're holding everything. And that kind of seeps into shadow number three, which is solo and successful, which is because you're superwoman, you tend to hold everything yourself and you don't have the support either in your personal life or your business life to really support you. You might feel that why don't I feel lovable kind of feeling in there. Shadow number four is trauma chasing. There's a trauma from childhood that you in some ways use to motivate you. And it's like driving some of your success, but it's also leaving you a little bit empty and wondering, like, it doesn't feel good to work that way, but you don't know how to let go of that to get to the next level in your life, because that's what's gotten you this far, right? That it feels like, well, this is painful, but it's a successful strategy to some degree. Okay. You're nodding your head. Yes. So yeah, that's a big one for people. Shadow five is all or nothing. So if you change your MO, so if you change the thing that's the trauma chasing, everything's going to fall apart. Like you feel like that's the one thing that's holding it together. Shadow number six is the sensual flatline, which is like you've put all your effort into business and work and you don't have a sense of sensuality in life. Like you don't feel lit up during the day. You don't feel alive and vibrant. You are successful from a traditional definition of success. The business is going well, the money's coming in, but you don't feel beautifully alive and connected, which brings us to shadow number seven, which is the wholeness whole. Like you're so driven and I'm driven. So there's nothing, no dings against drive. But for me, what happened was so driven. I'd lost this, like, I always had an intuition and some connection to spirit or source, but I didn't feel that sense of oneness with the universe, that wholeness, especially in my workday. It was like maybe over here at this other time when I was like tapped in, but not feeling super whole. And so to soothe that missing piece, you know, I filled it with many other things, whether that's, you know, shopping or work, even work, you know, work, because I felt super competent there was a great place to fill it with. You're nodding your head, Pia. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. So those are the seven shadows. And then when you were looking over that, there was also something that like you started to tell me about, but I said, let's wait until we're live, that you wanted to work on. So what was that?
Okay. So forgive me if this isn't going to be completely cohesive thought. I'll let you put it together. I was just recently rereading a favorite book of mine, The Big Leap, which just to remind myself of this like higher, greater opportunity for myself, and have been very recently thinking about, I think for the first time, actually allowing myself to even consider a much greater future than I thought, because my business, now that it has hit the multi-millions, I don't think I ever thought I would get there. So kind of trying to tap into, oh, maybe I could do a lot more than I thought. You know, I'm about to turn 40. Like I have a lot of time to do a lot more with this. I feel like, what am I playing small? You know, and also trying to figure out the balance between when is it playing small versus when is it like not just pushing for the trauma reason, what the one that I nodded about, right? Like finding the wanting to, you know, break through those limiting, what does he call it? The upper limit, to do that greatness thing without doing it because like, oh, I just have to keep chasing because that's the only way I feel better. So that was what I was going to say. And I do think it ties in with, but I will say that actually when you read through them, the sensual flatline feels like the one I'm like almost a little more most interested in. And I do feel like it's connected because I feel like the sensual flatline feels like I want to be embracing that and that to be part of this big thing that I'm going for, not just like more money. You know, I don't need more money. And so there's so many things you can do with more money, but like, that's not the thing. I want to feel great about it. So
yeah,
kind of a mess,
okay.
But
not a mess.
Not
that
a mess.
That made total sense to me. So
okay, good.
I'm just going to, this process is about asking questions and delving in. So, so when you think about that upper limit, so that's a great book, The Big Leap. When you think about that upper limit and you start going to, well, I could do this and I could do this, I could do this. What are the things that come up that feel not quite right? Like there's like a like, okay, well, I could just choose that, but it's not, it doesn't have that zing, like you've landed on the right thing.
It does feel a little like, oh, I could do this, I could do that, all things that I don't know how to do. And maybe, you know, a little bit of, I know about myself, I like the chase, right? I like the learning. So I guess it's like this aware, like now that I'm so aware of that, it feels like, am I just chasing this feeling of accomplishment, accomplishment, accomplishment? And am I doing that at the expense of maybe some more fulfilling experiences? Because I don't have as much experience like being present and just like feeling that sensual life and being like, when I have time for myself with my young son, like, and have space, like sometimes I will do things like clean out my closet, cause like it feels better than like relaxing. Right. So I have like, oh, and sometimes I'll resist. And sometimes I'll be like, well, this is your day, Pia. If you want to do that, just do that. it's like a cheap thrill. It's like a cheap thing to like chase that feeling of I did something and it feels good. And I just don't feel like that's really, that doesn't feel like a life well lived in the end.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. So I have the same thing. Like there are times where that itch wants to be scratched, right? Like I just want that dopamine hit that comes from getting something done. Like, oh, you know, organizing your closet, it's like high success rate there.
Right? Easy.
Easy. There's no variables. I could just get this done. So I totally get that. And the way that I really approached this was to look at, so I personally, let me share my story and then you can tell me what of that is like a yes and what doesn't sync. So I took a step back and I was like, okay, well, I got the business to this level, really love it for all these reasons. Don't love it for this. I want to be working on this type of work, doing it with this type of women. I decided I wanted a more spacious life. I was tired of feeling the adrenaline all the time. It was all that I knew, okay? But I was tired of feeling that adrenaline. So I started to reimagine my business. How could I define my business differently, do my business differently to create more spaciousness and meet my financial goals and needs and all of that. Concurrently, and this is not the case for you, but there might be an analogous thing. Okay. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I am ready for finding my soulmate. Like I am ready for that next level exquisite love. Like I was in a good, but not great relationship. And I wanted, like, I was willing to let that go. We had a conversation. We both agreed. And like, then I was like, I'm calling in this new relationship. And I did, which was quite phenomenal and amazing. And then I was like, this is the impetus I need to make those final changes in the business. Okay. To create the life that I wanted. And I started to build an image around how I wanted to live as part of this relationship. And that relationship was what was like this domino. It had this domino effect. It caused me to rethink, you know, my, how the business was structured, how I spend my day, what I do, what my goals were, all the new, my bigger desires became so much bigger because of this, and it unfolded. So I feel like there's this linchpin that if we can find it for you, we might get close today. Okay. Mm-hmm. If we can find it for you, would be equivalent to that relationship. Like, and for me, that was the thing in my life that was always missing. Okay. So the to connect it to the trauma chasing, I was filling the void in my, by doing all this work to feel lovable. Like my core wound was I'm unlovable. I'm never going to be loved in the way that I truly want to be loved. I'm not going to feel held, supported, seen, adored. Like, and I'm only valued for what I do. Okay. Okay. So Pia, with that as sort of the framework, did any of that land? Like, is there something, I'm not saying that it has to be, but is there something that feels like you've always been trying to fill a void around that would give us a clue about what would then the thing, the linchpin that would unpack all the desires be?
While you were talking, the thing that came to mind for me was that I know I have this tendency, like a very like trying to control everything tendency, where I feel like if I can just do everything perfectly and the right way, I should be able to have all the things that I want. As an example, because you're talking about relationships and like I've been married for 12 years, we've been together for 15 years. By no means does that mean that like, oh, so you're just married, right? Like I've been chasing that relationship too, right? I love the person I'm with and I believe he is that person. And we have had that relationship at many times in these 15 years, but we haven't had it like we're always in that place. And we've had a lot of challenges too, as you do when you are married for so long. And I really both have our stuff. I wonder if some of it is my like, I've noticed some of it because of this Big Leap book, like some of it might be self-sabotaging, right? Oh, I'm doing so well here. So I must like, it can't all be good. So I may be a pick fight, but also I think I noticed that it's very obviously it can stem from something that I inherited from my mother about like, there's a right way to do everything. So everything needs to look a certain way. And that's how you get the things that you want, which is obviously not true. I can tell you that logically, but I can't, but I know that I operate like that. And then I get very frustrated when I feel like I did everything right. And I still don't have the thing that I want exactly the way I want it, particularly in something like a relationship where you cannot control the other person. So that's what came up for me.
So yeah, absolutely. So let's go a little deeper there. So when you think about the relationship, describe to me if you could have it perfect, right? If you could have it exactly how you wanted with this man. Okay. And I say that not to limit your, like, I don't want you to think, well, he'll never do this, so I can't include that in my desire. I'm saying, I don't want you to think I have to throw this relationship out. Like, what do you truly desire in this relationship? Like, what would it look like?
I think those kinds of questions will like always bring up the thing that you feel like you don't quite have, right? Because I have so many things in this. So when you say that, I think I want to, it's not like, I don't think it's like possible. Like, I want to feel like excited about this connection from the moment I wake up until the moment I go to sleep and feel like it is totally reliable. And I say that hesitantly because like loyalty and trust is not an issue in the traditional sense with us, but like a trust of like feeling like the other person is always going to be showing up the way I need, that is not completely there. So, so that I have a fundamental feeling of unconditional love, but I don't have a fundamental feeling of you're going to be here to show up in the supportive, emotionally supportive way that I need and would and want to trust all the time.
Okay.
Which is too much to ask, but you asked what I wanted.
So pause, not too much to ask.
Okay.
And you have to change how you're showing up, how you're asking, what you believe you're worth. Okay. So you just said something that I just want to point out that it's a great thing for you to recognize. You just said, yeah, too much to ask, right? Like that's impossible, right? And to me, when I hear that, I know it's not impossible. You might have been challenged by it, right? It hasn't manifested yet. You haven't created that exactly. Lots of really good things, as you said, but that not exactly. But then when you say it's too much to ask, to me, I read I'm not worthy of that. Now, no one in their head really says, oh, I'm not worthy of that. Okay. Like I never said that, but I felt it, right? I felt like I was never going to find love. That's impossible. And to me, when I hear that, the next thing is to recognize that that is an identity issue or self-image issue. They mean the same thing to me, self-image, the way we see ourselves. Okay. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily like confidence thing, but literally the way we see ourselves or our identity. There's something from upbringing and childhood that has you believing that you're only like, you can only get so much. Okay. Like that, because that's probably how much you got growing up. Okay. Mm-hmm. Intellectually, as a full blown, grown human being, woman, you're like, damn, no, I deserve it all. But like that mm-hmm. inner part of us. Hey there. I just want to take a quick moment and ask, what's the thing holding you back from your own success? The hidden shadow or saboteur potentially at play for you. And do you know how to find it? We often have that one thing keeping us from our next level. And it's not always the strategic move. It's often the internal one. I found in my own journey of success and building my exquisite life, it's what I call a core wound or loyalty pack. What's that? I share more at theunstoppablewoman.com, right on the homepage. Find out more at theunstoppablewoman.com. Now, let's get back to our episode. So when I said that last piece around something from childhood where what memories pop from a sense of like that remind you of this kind of sense of limitation, like I can't really have what I want.
It made me think a little bit about feeling like not outwardly expressed, but subtly communicated that like love was a little conditional.
Just a little?
Yeah. Right. Like not very subtly expressed though. Not like, mm-hmm. yes, which is like when I've thought about it in the past, like almost feels almost like a little bit harder. Like it took me a while to even kind of accept that was not, you know, when it's not so expressed.
Overt. Yeah.
Yeah. Overt. Thank you.
I call this trauma with a lowercase t, right? This is not trauma that's you were sexually abused, you were, you know,
right.
in a plane
crash.
You
can't point to anything. It's just a subtle, everyday kind of.
Yeah. So I call this
disapproval. Trauma.
Yeah. And this links up to one of the other shadows, which we talked about, which is like, it's one of the reasons you're so good at running a business because you have that drive to succeed. Your drive as a child to get love and safety and belonging was through keeping up and doing better and better and better and better and better. And although it's not good for our hearts per se, it teaches us extraordinary work ethic, persistence, commitment, drive. You have the motivation to go make it happen. Okay. And so on the one hand, your superpower, on the other hand, your kryptonite. Okay. Yeah. So was there any particular memory that popped for you feeling like you could never keep up?
I always feel like I should just tell you what, like the thing that came to mind.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily
definitely
fitting the bill, but like the first thing that came to mind, I know this is top of mind because my son is about to do a play and I was thinking about like, he's not going to want flowers, but like, I want to bring him something, you know, because I was a dancer and I was like always at the front of the class. And I was like always at the front of the performances and like this, but like, and I remember in multiple places, even though I was always like kind of teacher's pet, and like I knew how to do everything, a couple of different times, like there was like one girl who was like better than I was. There was like one girl who just naturally was better than I was. And I remember like coming out of a dance, and I love flowers. I probably love flowers because of this. I remember coming out of a dance performance and like the first thing my mom said to me was like, wow, she was really good. And she didn't have flowers for me. And everybody had the flowers from their mom. I was just like a little girl being like, where are my flowers? And like, why are you telling me that she was so good?
Yeah. And it still hurts, right?
It still hurts.
Yeah. Because you tried so hard. You put all your effort in and it wasn't good enough. And although I'm sad that the sadness has come up, I'm thrilled that you've seen it, because this is what gets mapped as love. Okay. So consciously, as an adult, you're like, that's not love. Why didn't you bring me flowers? Right. Okay. Why didn't you tell me how beautiful I was, how well I did, how amazing it was, rather than telling me that I'm in second place? Right. Okay. But that's not what happened. So what gets mapped in those moments, okay, is that that's what love is. Okay. Now let's go to your primary love relationship right now with your husband. And you have a map in your mind, not conscious. This is in the subconscious. Okay. You have a map in your mind that says love means never living up to it, not being good enough, not really being seen, not really being, I'm going to use the word that I'm not sure is correct, but doted on, like brought flowers, like just adored. Okay.
Which is so funny, because I mean, I'm aware of the flower thing, and Steve does, and Steve is very aware of the flower thing, and buys me flowers for everything, because he knows it's important the flowers are.
Well, that's but great.
I'm just sharing that because I don't know that that matters, that like, because the wound is still there. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I get the flowers, but like, it doesn't heal the hole.
Yeah. And do you think it doesn't heal the hole because it's not really the flowers, but what's behind the flowers, which is really being seen and adored and loved? So do you feel like Steve, I mean, this is going to be challenging questions, because in some ways you're going to want to protect him and like not throw him under the bus or anything, but help me out here at getting at the truth. Okay.
Yeah.
So do you feel like, do you feel fully seen by Steve?
I do. And I feel very adored by him and seen by him and appreciated. And he's very good at expressing those things. He also has his own things that he's dealing with. And I think going back to the original thing that I shared with you, it's like, sometimes I get this Steve and sometimes I get that Steve, who's like totally wrapped up in his own trauma and can't, and isn't like that, isn't there at all for that. And I don't know which one I'm going to get.
That's the unreliable part.
And that's the unreliable part.
Ah, okay. So if I understand correctly, you like the big desire is you would love to be in a relationship with Steve and have this reliable sense of feeling adored, loved, connected. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And you said something earlier about feeling excited and that connection from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to sleep. And this is very much like, are you looking for like the OxyContin high from the new relationship kind of love and connection? Or are you looking for, tell me more about the kind of connection that you're looking for.
I just come coming to the back to this reliability thing. I think that I may have, I think my relationship with my mom had just like these elements of like, you just didn't quite know when it was going to not be there. And then I'm like playing that out again in my romantic relationship.
Yeah.
And it's just like, and that's why I said that, like, maybe it's too much to ask. It's like, why can't I just like believe it's always there again? Like, I have this like deep trust. It's not like I have ever been worried about like the more superficial kind of, not superficial, but like most people, loyalty and reliability have a lot to do with like that relationship. But this has more to do like an emotional thing. Like, I might like wake up and he might be completely disconnected. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So do you meditate?
No.
Okay. That's okay. Don't. That was a big sigh for those
who were
not on watching the video, but listening to the audio. That was like, she just let this big
like
sigh
everybody.
Out.
Yeah.
Okay. No, and I don't know what your spiritual perspective is, but our connection with spirit, source, oneness, all that is what makes us feel fully connected to ourselves and to others. the first thing, and you might roll your eyes at me here, Pia, but the first thing that you have to realize is that it starts with you, not with Steve. Okay. Right. Right? Like
totally. I'm
that
with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
That
Yeah.
reliability is not, okay, Steve, you've got to go change. Okay.
It makes me feel better that it's with me. I mean, I obviously
you
can't
control
change him.
yourself.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I told you, controlling.
Right. Exactly. So you're like, okay, I got this.
Yeah. Give it
but
to me.
Yeah. So the thing that you need to do is you have to work on your connection to yourself. Okay. Because when we feel connected to ourselves, wholly, completely connected to ourselves, then we have love to give, right? And we have the energy that's magnetic to others. We can walk into the room and be so lit up and bright that the people in our lives respond to us. And if they don't in the millisecond that we want them to, we're still lit up because that's what we really want. You don't actually want to be dependent on Steve, right? You
right.
just want to feel this love. And you'd like to have it with him, but really you just want to feel alive and in love with life. And right. Okay. So first it's a connection to self, and we get that connection to self. The best / primary way that I have done that is through meditation. And for years, I was like, all these people talk about meditating. I should try meditating. I would do it for a few days. And then I'd be like, it's hard. I can't do this. I suck at this. Like this is not for me. And then, you know, every year or so I would try this and kind of fail. I will tell you that the way that I got into meditation that stuck was to use Joe Dispenza's work. And
I love his book. Yeah, I'm familiar.
Yeah. So go to his website and find one of his meditations that calls to you. Okay.
Okay.
And I can recommend a few if you want.
Yeah.
But what I love about his work is that it integrates the neuroscience and the meta. I call it the meta, the knowledge, right?
Totally.
And then his actual meditations, they have music, they have his instructions, and they are teaching you. So like, I'm a lifetime learner. So I'm like, oh, I got to learn this process. So I'm in there, and that gives my mind a place to go. And then his cues take me back to the present moment and all of that. So he doesn't speak about this that often. He doesn't hide it, but he doesn't speak about it that often, a background in hypnosis. So I think there's like a way his voice is very hypnotic, and that has also helped me quiet that chitter chatter so that I can go deep. And that has radically changed my experience with myself. And I can now drop in an instant and feel 100 like ecstatic, like one with the world. Okay. And walk through the world this way and walk, you know, talk and do things. Are there moments where I'm just like everyone else? Like yesterday, I got triggered by something in my business. I was like, why is this like this? And, you know, I went off on a, you know, a little rabbit hole for half an hour, 45 minutes. And then I was like, oh, I'm going to go meditate because I need to get back to myself. And it's radically changed my experience with myself. So I will give you that as a tool, as a tip.
Okay.
And one thing that I will say that I learned from Dr. Joe Dispenza is that he talks about how the body is controlling the mind. So we have bodily habits. I wake up and I do this, and then I do this, then I do this, then I do this. And you have to use your mental faculties, your mental will to say, no, body, we're not going to get up. We're going to meditate. No, we're not going to go check this. We're going to meditate, because your body is conditioned to go off. Okay. And that's what's going to distract you. Okay. So it does take just an acknowledgement of that and like, okay, we're just doing
practice.
Practice, just doing this.
Sure.
And once you do it for a while, your body starts craving it and will then, it's conditioned in the way you want it to. It will be like, oh, turn you around and be like, no, we're doing this. which is fascinating. Okay, so that was a lot on meditation, but I want to give you that because fundamentally that's the pathway back to full connection. And given what I've just shared about meditation, a lot of people will say, well, I don't have time to meditate, or I don't know how to fit it in. Or are there other things that come up as gating factors?
No, I have time to fit it in. And I've done a good job very recently, have kind of shifted into a place of feeling like I have a lot of control over my time. I think that it's just that I've, like you, like once a year, you kind of like go try it for a couple of days. And then it's easy to not do. I have to think of a, I feel like I have to think of a good time in the day that's reliable, because I have gotten in the last like few months, I got luckily like Steve basically took over taking our son to school every morning after kind of, which was such a gift. And so I can exercise every single day. And I have gotten in the habit of waking up. This morning I woke up and he like had to leave in 40 minutes. I was like, I can do it. And I like ran. And I know that that physical habit has actually changed. I don't know exactly when the best time is to meditate, because morning would be the best time. I already have something to do then. Like at night, when do you do it?
So I have a different life than you. I don't have a small child at home. So that changes things. When I first started, I would do morning and evening. And I got really into it. And I just did the same meditation over and over and over and over again.
How long was the first one that you were doing?
Okay. Well, I will tell you the whole thing. So the very first one I did was part of something called the Progressive, which is a teaching class that he has that you can buy on his website. And I don't know, it's like 200, 300 bucks. It's like 25 videos, hours and hours and hours of him teaching, but it was the meta, the knowledge, he calls it the model. And then he will do a meditation. Like, so it'll be like three videos of teaching and then a meditation, three videos of teaching and then a meditation. So those were the first ones that I did, and they were life-changing and they were amazing. Okay. So you could start there and that would be fantastic. And they were shorter. He goes off the rails and does hour, 2 hour meditations. These were half an hour, 40 minute meditations, but much more doable for me because he was talking. There was something for my mind to like land on versus just me alone with my thoughts, which I understand. There are a lot of people who think that's the only right way to meditate, but there you go. And so I did that first. And then I bought off of his website again, this Blessing of the Energy Centers 1. He has a series of these meditations. And that was the one that I did over and over and over again for months. And I would do it in the morning, I would do it in the evening, and I didn't get bored of it. And I think that was like 40 minutes, something like that. And at first I thought, how could I spend all this time doing it? But then I started craving it and it changed my world. It was radical. And now I do it. Yeah. Now I do it. Like I did a short 20 minute meditation this morning, and I'll probably do a longer one after workout, after dinner, before bed kind of time frame. But sometimes I'll do it. Like yesterday I did one, you know, at like 4:30, because I was like, I could feel myself getting agitated, and I know that that's not a place of making good decisions, and I wanted to come back to myself. So I just changed my schedule and I stopped and I did my meditation 4:30 in the afternoon. So, but I don't have a little kid. I have a different life that allows for that.
Yeah.
But the real answer is he recommends first thing in the morning before your day starts. That's great. If you do that, that's fantastic. I think really anytime you can do it is the right time to do it. Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we've gone down a deep dive into meditation, but I think that this is an extraordinarily powerful tool, and it's allowed me to open my heart and really become sort of super connected to I call it all the energy that is. It's like this oneness, this intelligent energy of that is consciousness, is awareness. And when we're tapped in like that, our hearts are open. We feel alive. It feels ecstatic. And it's allowed me to like know my soul, if you will. Okay. And I can tell you more about that if you want. This is more of a conversation than coaching, but I'm happy if this helps to keep
I
going.
I think I have to try it.
Yeah, I would definitely try it. You're a learner. You're curious. Yeah. I would probably do the progressive, you know, just purchase that, watch his videos as you're getting ready to go to sleep or whatever, whenever your time is, and like let it seep into you. What I think works about that is that he builds this model over the hours that you're watching these videos, and then you're like, "Oh, I want that." And it gives you the motivation to then do the meditation.
Gives so. more context than just, okay, now close your eyes.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Yeah. So I think that if you can lean into the meditation, I think it will address that sense of connection, that sense of excitement, that feeling tapped in and alive. And then let's talk about this idea of like a reliable sense of like, who Steve is and is he always going to be there for me? Okay. So the question that comes to mind, which is a little bit of an obvious one, but is where are you not reliable in your relationship with Steve? Hey, Amira here. Want to know more about what keeps uber successful women from achieving everything they want in life? Find out more at theunstoppablewoman.com. Now let's get back to the episode.
I think I can obviously show up with the wrong energy when things in my business are feeling stressful. And that's probably unreliable. And I think I hide that because I have a very even way of showing up. But again, like subtlety, just like I was saying, you know, it's like I learned the art of subtlety. So I have a feeling that I am unreliably, subtly displeased.
So you need to clean that up. Okay.
Yeah.
So you like, if you want, so the law of vibration says everything in the universe vibrates. Everything has a frequency at which it vibrates. And we vibrate, we have a frequency at which we vibrate, and it changes, okay? But it is indisputable, regardless of whether we're smiling and saying particular words, there's a vibration behind it. If you're in a vibration of being displeased, that is the vibration that is being sent out that will be matched, because we everything in the universe is attracted to other things of the same vibration, okay? Or the vibration that they want to be at, okay? Does that make sense? So yeah. If you're vibrating, if you're unreliable in this way and vibrating in a sense of being displeased, and if you're putting out, I'm displeased, you know, you wouldn't want to connect with anyone who thought they weren't pleasing you, right? It's like the big, you know, stop sign, you know, you want to run in the other direction. So you're not going to get reliability if you're putting out displeased. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You have to become someone who, when something happens in her life or her business that isn't working, you are able to express it and transmute it into a good place and not be sending out this subtle, not so subtle energy of displeasure, right? Displeasing, because you won't get the connection. Okay.
And I'm hyper aware of this and I have worked so hard to not be this. Like, something I just like about myself is like I said, there's like a best way to do everything. So anytime something's not being done the best way, like I am noticing, and then I am in the last, you know, 10 or 15 years being like, but it's okay. Like, who cares? Just get out, like, definitely don't say anything, because nobody cares that you think there's a better way to do this, but it's not, it doesn't mean that I'm, you know, that's what I'm talking about, that subtlety. It's like, I'm feeling it. And I'm trying not to feel it.
So when you feel it, what would happen if instead of just not saying it, you instead said, oh, I don't need to feel that. Like, you actually let go, like let that feeling, like, okay. So what we resist persists. So you're feeling something. I'm displeased. This is not the right way of doing this. I'm not going to say anything because I've learned that. But you are resisting something. What are you resisting?
I'm resisting saying something. I mean, I feel like I'm swallowing it.
And before, when you didn't swallow it and you said it,
I didn't get the outcome I wanted.
Okay. And did it relieve the feeling?
It probably felt like it scratched an itch.
But it didn't really relieve the feeling.
Well, no, it just created a different problem.
Yeah. So it distracted you.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. So when you have the feeling this is not being done correctly, what's underneath that? Why do you even care if it's done correctly? And let's not work in the hypothetical. Can you give me a specific example recently where you held your tongue and you didn't say anything? You were gracious. Okay. But inside you were like, that's not the right way. And you felt this feeling of displeasure, just being displeased.
With Steve or just in general?
Either one, something that's recent.
I was just involved in an event this weekend for a friend, and the person who was organizing it like asked me to come early to help her set this thing up. And then when I got there, there was nothing to do. And then she didn't come until after it even started. And I was just like, you just wasted like an hour and a half of my time. And I was so frustrated, but in the service of not wanting to have any negative feelings in this event, which was also joyous, I just swallowed it and was just like, hey, like, you're going to be a team player here, even though you are super busy and have been very gracious with all of your time and being so helpful. Like, and somebody just totally like disregarded the fact that your time is so valuable.
And when you swallowed that, that's a great example.
It felt horrible. I'm still angry about it.
Right. Okay. Yes. So, which note the amount of energy that's taking.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you swallowed that and saw your friend, were you?
It was my friend's friend who did it to me. So it wasn't my friend. It was her friend who did it.
Okay. Whoever.
Yes. Okay.
Whoever you were interacting with.
Yes.
Were you sending out that subtle displeasure?
I'm sure that I was.
Were you or were you not?
Well, I was actively not, but I'm sure.
Yeah.
But I had the feeling. So I'm sure that I was sending it out. I was aware of it. I'm very aware of, I'm feeling this. I'm like overly smiley when I'm feeling that way, because I'm like, I really don't want you to know how pissed off I am about this. Yeah.
But if you could go back to this event.
Okay.
And the interactions with these people, when you're trying to fake it. Okay. And you're smiling and you're overdoing it, but you know that you are displeased. Okay. And you're trying to confuse the radar, if you will, with your smiling. Okay. You can feel how you were feeling in that moment. Can you go back to that? You know what that feeling is. Mm-hmm. Okay. And in that memory, that moment, do have a sense that they, even if they didn't let on to it or said anything specific, could feel you being displeased?
Yeah, I can imagine she may have felt that a little bit. Yeah. I don't know how perceptive she is.
So oftentimes people don't know what they are confused by the outer faking it, right?
Facade. Yeah.
Facade. And they're like, something's off, but I don't know what it is because she's not saying anything, but I can really feel it. Now, with some people, you can really feel it because, you know, there are some people who don't hide their displeasure particularly well, and it's emanating from every cell in their body and their body language and all of that. And you're aware of it. This is that, but on a much more subtle level. Okay. And so people can feel it even if they don't say anything about it. So in that moment, what are you resisting?
Well, I think I was having very conflicting, polar opposite feelings. I was feeling incredibly righteous about my position. It was completely unnecessary, and it was rude, in fact. And my logical brain was, there is absolutely no reason for you to bring this up. It has already happened. Nothing can be done about it. This isn't even your friend. You don't have to solve this later. We're here in service of our mutual friend. And what I really want is for my mutual friend to have this thing that is in her honor without any of this. So I'm going like, that's what I want to do. And that's what I want to be. So I'm gonna do what I can to do that. But I had this polar opposite, like righteous anger about like, why did you do this to me? This is so unnecessary and inferior. Yeah. I don't know. Does that answer your question?
To some degree.
Am I avoiding the question? I can't tell. Okay.
No. The question was, what are you resisting?
What am I resisting?
Okay. And I would say, based on what you just said, that you're resisting honoring your truth. Okay.
Okay.
Because somehow it's unsafe to express yourself. Like, full expression would be, wow, that totally sucked. I really didn't like that. And I really want to be here for my friend. And more than all of that, I really want to be here for myself, right? Like, I want it to feel good. Okay, hold on. Put a pin in that thought for 1 second. I think this links directly back to what we were talking about in the beginning, which is like, you want to feel like the solution to the relationship with Steve is the full connection to yourself. The solution to this situation is the full connection to yourself. Okay. Because when you are angry inside and trying to fake it, you are not fully in yourself. You are all in your head trying to manage. Okay. You cannot be fully present with yourself and fully present with others. Does that land for you? Do you get what I'm saying there?
Yeah. Well, in that moment, once it had passed, it had passed. So if I'm holding on to anything about it, I'm not fully present. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
And if I'm having like feelings about something that has already passed, it's like, now I'm thinking about that thing, or I'm feeling residual feelings about that thing, when really it's like, well, we're here now. So
yeah. So both in this moment when we're talking about the past, and also in that moment after it had passed and you were experiencing the event, you're still kind of fuming inside. Okay. So you're not present then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And more than just not being present, you're not connected with yourself, your greater self. So your greater self is your soul, your greater self, the part of you that is your spiritual self. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that part of you is always connected to source, is a part of source. Okay. And when we feel feelings, negative feelings, it's a representation of us being separate from our greater selves. Okay. Separate from our truth, the essence of who we are, our spirit. Okay. And when you feel connected is when you are one with your soul, your spirit, your greater self. Okay. And so anything that separates you from that connection is a place where you have an opportunity to come back to oneness. Okay. So I am positing that this pattern of finding things to be displeased about for righteous reasons, as just as they are, is a habitual conditioned way of being that keeps you separate from your true self.
I think you're 100% right.
Yeah. So we don't just do this because we want to sabotage our lives. We do this because at some point in our lives, it was the best coping strategy that we could come up with. Okay. So you've mentioned a couple times that you learned this kind of displeasure from your mother. So I imagine that this was a coping strategy. Like, and I'm, this is a guess. I could be off. Okay. It's not okay to be me, because when I'm me, I get this feeling of I've done something wrong. My mother's displeased. Okay. So instead of fully expressing who I am, being the truth of who I am, I'm going to join her. I'm going to be loyal to her. I'm going to create a loyalty pact with her. And I'm, by being just like her and joining her in this behavior pattern of being displeased. Okay. Because that was the safest thing I could do. If I'm not going to be accepted for who I am, I'm going to be accepted for being just like you.
I think the only time I feel really like we're even connecting on anything is when we're both talking about something that is not right.
With your mom. Is that what you mean? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Sad, right?
Yeah, sad.
But yeah.
Yeah.
And so what makes this, so this is called the loyalty pack. And what makes this challenging is if you want to go change, right? If you're like, I really don't want to, this is a habit. I would like to change. It's not serving me anymore. It's keeping me disconnected from myself. It's keeping me disconnected from my husband. There's this loyalty pack that says, if I change, I'm going to lose the love from my mom. Okay. That, like I've made this pact, and if I break this pact, I'm going to lose this love. And even though you're a full grown adult, our subconscious is still thinking that we're this little girl that looks at her mother as mother God, right? It's where all the love, the safety, the belonging comes from. And so it makes it challenging to change. So you have to have leverage over yourself. You have to have something that you want more than the fear of losing that love. Okay. Okay. Because intellectually, you know, this is not, you're not going to lose love with your mom. You might lose the ability to bond with her. That might happen. Okay. Mm-hmm. But if she stops loving you because of this, that would be, you know, we would have to have a conversation about what that means. Okay. But you're not going to lose love with Steve by changing this. Okay. In fact,
the opposite
would happen. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
But your inner self, your small self thinks that you're going to lose everything if you change. And that's an identity issue. Okay. So in order to change, you need to get leverage. You have to have something that's more important to you than this fear of breaking the connection with mom. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I think this brings us back to what's the bigger desire. Okay. So coming sort of full circle, if you will, would it be correct to say that one of your biggest desires is to feel this fully sort of connected, lit up feeling from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to sleep?
Yeah.
That's like a really big desire. Like, is that big?
It's the only desire, because everything feels like it's just in service of trying to get there. And once I have that, I really don't need anything else.
Are you worried that if you had that, you would stop growing your business or doing things that are important and hard or challenging for you?
You know, it's a good question. And I have felt like that. I have felt like that in the past about like not having the fear. So if I don't have the fear of failing, then I won't try anything, because that's like what pushing me. I feel like I've worked through a chunk of that, which may just mean that I worked through the like not using fear necessarily to drive me, but now it's just maybe I'll have no motivation once I have total euphoria every day. I don't know. It sounds logical to me. I can't tell you. I like completely tap into that feeling when you say it, but that would make a lot of sense.
I think there's a real shift for people that happens from when they're being driven from fear to being driven by desire. And it sounds like you're right at that cusp.
Yeah.
And what's happening is it's hard to pick the true desire, a big desire that's true for you, because your identity is still locked up in being driven by the fear. So if you were to actually claim what you really wanted, you know, that's an identity shift. Okay. Mm-hmm. Intellectually, you get this already. You're like, okay, I'm no longer being driven this way, but it becomes like a little bit of a flat place.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, because we've talked about it, like the rebrand of the business was all around this exquisite life. Mm-hmm. And I think that would be the place for you to start playing with that. Like, what if like the bigger desire, or the, you know, instead of playing small, right, the bigger desire was less around the business per se. It could be, but less around that, but more around the exquisite life that you would like. Like, what would be a luscious, sexy, sensual, exquisite life for you?
All that comes to mind is like feeling different.
Yeah.
It's just feeling different. It's doing all the things and having all the things I already have, but feeling more like enamored with it. Because I feel like I worked so hard and I have all the things. And I'm not to say that I have everything I could possibly desire, but it's like there's no longer a carrot in the physical world. So my only carrot is a spiritual one.
Beautifully put. So we need to, you know, we've talked about the meditation. That's huge. Okay. So that's the spiritual carrot is, I'm going to hold it here for you. I'm dangling it. Okay. Is that when you are connected to your soul and spirit, source, the universe, the larger connection there as well, that you walk through this world feeling alive and in love with life. Okay. And that's what you're craving. Okay. So I would own that as the desire. And that is not playing small. Okay. And that is, you know, on the one hand, not something that you just flip a switch on and go, okay, what's my 10-point plan to create like oneness with the universe, right? Mm-hmm. Like, as you know, when you build a business, you're like, okay, I need to solve this problem and then this problem, and right? Mm-hmm. I would love for you to approach it slightly differently, which is around like, okay, I'm going to lean into this feeling that I desire and start imagining what my life would be like if I felt that way. Okay. Like, how would I show up? Who would I be? How would I interact with people? If I came an hour early to help at an event and someone didn't need my help, how would I respond? Right. If I was in love with life, right. If I was connected to myself, I'm just using that example because you gave it to me. Right.
No, it's a good example.
Yeah. So like I would give you the action of imagination. Okay.
Okay.
You know, we have the tool of meditation
mm-hmm.
and then imagination, just like consistently thinking, well, like I am looking at the rest of my day today and I'm thinking it's going to be like this, like this, like this. And I'm setting little intentions and little GPS all day long for myself. None of it has that feeling of connection. Okay. Well, what if this one thing that I did today, I felt fully connected? Oh, what would that feel like? What would that look like? You imagine that and you build that more and more so that you can imagine your whole day and then you can imagine your whole life. And I'm very nonlinear when I do this. So I'm talking about it as if you're doing it sequentially through the day, but I do it like big picture and then granular and a little bit here and a little bit there. And I've started, I would do this and I would start to really have a sense of me actually walking through the world that way. And that became the carrot for me to change. I wanted that so badly. And I would do this with your relationship with Steve as well. Like, how would I walk into the your common space after work and I was deep in my masculine working and solving problems and, you know, all the stuff of business. And I was challenged there and I wanted to stay connected to Steve. How would I walk in with an open heart, right? Okay. And then I would back into doing that. I'm like, well, how could I be in my business with an open heart, right? And I would start imagining all of this. And when we do this, it sets up a GPS and we start subconsciously figuring out how to get there. Okay. One tactical tool is meditation. Imagination is a tool, okay, as well. And then you'll start realizing, oh, I need to take a pause before I walk in to see Steve and open my heart and be, oh, look, I'm displeased about the way he handled the plumber situation and it's rattling in my head or whatever it is, okay? Is this who I want to be? Is this the loyalty that I, what do I want to be loyal to? Little 30-second conversation with yourself, and then you just let it go. Okay. Like when you're smart, and I know it initially will be like, Amira, you know, like it's not that easy. Okay. But I promise you, in that moment, if you ask yourself, what if I just didn't have to hold on to this? What if I didn't, like, this is a loyalty pact to my mom. This is conditioned behavior that I don't like myself when I'm like this. What if I just could let this go? And then you iterate on that. Okay. It'll go away for like 10 seconds and then it will come out. And you just practice that. Okay. Questions on those kind of three things that I just gave you: meditation, imagination, practicing being a different practicing. Person.
Yeah. No. I love this. I'm ready to do it. I feel like I have to do something really, I have to do planning for a retreat for my clients that are coming into New York this afternoon, like right after this. And it's been really weighing on me because it's such a weighty thing to do. And even while you're talking, I'm thinking of like, how amazing is it that I get to like spend the whole afternoon by myself just like thinking about this amazing retreat with my clients and how fun it's going to be. And I can tell that I approach things with a weighty feeling a lot of times when I don't need to.
Yeah. And that's a great recognition. So that's like approaching it not with that connection, not with that openness, not with that, right? And it's also, you talked about being driven by fear, right? Before, and now you're like, there's still like, that to me is like this, like, oh, a should, right? And a, like, there's a conditioned behavior there around it. Yeah.
There's a lot of, because I do so many things where there's no one to pat me on the back and say you did it right, or it's finished, right? So I have to constantly be deciding I'm done with this, it's good enough, all of that, which I think is paired with a fear of not doing it well enough because of this whole thing that I just talked about. So especially things like this, they feel very weighty because it's like, wow, like a whole bunch of opportunities for me to not necessarily do as good a job as I should and not even know because there's no one to tell me. And so I just have to decide and, you know, and that's most of my day, right? Because most of the things I do, there's no boss. So it's me.
Absolutely. So what I find interesting there is like you've created a life for yourself where there is no mom with flowers, right? Okay. You know, like you've eliminated that. Like that didn't work for me. Okay.
What's that Miley Cyrus song? I can buy myself flowers.
Right. Exactly. So there's that. But then there's also like the thing that I want to give you for this upcoming work that you're doing is, what if you did it for you? Okay. Like, because the way you're approaching it is like, okay, all my clients are coming in. I need to make it great for them, which valiant. Like, I love that. That's good. We want to do excellent work for our clients. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But what if you made it great for yourself? Okay. Like, what if instead you defined for you, what would be amazing? What would be an amazing outcome for this afternoon? Like going, like, what would be amazing? What if I approach this with a light heart and like doing it for me and like just like came up with all the ideas that I wanted to do and felt like that was good enough? Okay. So that could be one thing. You get to decide on your intentions. But like, what if it was okay to just do it for you, for how it felt for you?
Yeah. What if? Okay. Yeah, that sounds pretty nice. So
yeah, that is the sound of a client going, yeah, yeah.
No, yeah. I want that. I do want that. I'm like, okay, I'll try it.
Yeah, I mean.
Or so, I'll do it and then I'll do it again. I mean, obviously you're saying it's practice and I can see that. It's not like you do it and it's like, oh, it's different. But even just that intention setting, I certainly wasn't going to go into it with intention setting. I was just going to be like, okay, like what are all the things I have to figure out right now? And just kind of start hacking away at it.
Yeah. Before we fully wrap up, I want to ask you a question about that. What would you really like this event to look like? What would make it magnificent for you?
What would make it magnificent is if I could do everything I've done for every event we've ever done and just not been so worried about it and been not so stressed about what everyone's going to think or if somebody might not like one this thing over here, because we've done a few of these. Everyone comes out of it like, oh my God, that was the most amazing experience ever. I should be able to trust that. And I just that is what would make it amazing. It's like, do all the same things, just don't feel so stressed about it.
Okay. So when you start feeling stressed, as you're going through this planning, you know what stress feels like in your body, right? Okay. And you're just going to be like, oh yeah, I recognize that. We're doing it differently this time. I'm going to be relaxed in my body. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to plan this with joy. And there will be like this internal conflict that's like, no, I can't. Yes, I can. No, I can't. Right. And you get to decide. Okay. Mm-hmm. And, but it's a conditioned response. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so in order to change the conditioned response, when it comes up in the moment, you have to do it differently. We can do the imagination. We can set the intentions. All of that is super important. That's like the GPS. But then we actually have to drive the car mm-hmm. along the new route. Mm-hmm. Okay. If you drive it along the old route, you're going to go to the old place. Mm-hmm. Okay. So in that moment, when it actually comes up, you have to make a different decision, couple breaths, setting the intention again, going back, asking questions like, well, what if I could do this without stress? How would I do this? Okay. Like, what if I could do this and make it like it? It's, I actually don't need to do any planning. We did it fabulously 3 years ago. None of the same clients are here. I'm going to do that same event. Wow. It's totally planned. Is there anything that I need to change? Oh, no, there isn't. Oh, well, I need to change these 5 things. Okay, great. Let me go do that. What about this? Right. Then the stress comes up and you're like, oh, wait, that's stress. I don't have to do that. I can just drop back in. Okay. Good.
Yes.
Okay. I love it. Thank you so much, Pia.
Thank you so much, Amira. I'm really excited to try all of this.
You're welcome.
Yes. That's really awesome.
So 2 things before we wrap up, tell me a few things that dropped in for you, just super short. And then if people want to find your business or check out your work in this world, where would they find you?
Mm-hmm. Big ahas for me are, I've been thinking about like what the big business goals are, but really it's the exquisite life experience, and the business goals are going to be a part of that, but they're not really the North Star. Really, I will try the meditation. I will do it for a sustained amount of time because I think trying it is not enough. Like, I need to really do it for a while. I really love the idea of kind of just like getting in the habit of checking in constantly to be like, what would the woman who's living that life, how would they show up to this? And what would they do in this situation? And how would I do? Because even when you said that, when I think about what happened on Sunday with this event, like, yeah, I could have been like, oh, fabulous. There's nothing to do. And I have an hour and I'm in a new neighborhood in Brooklyn and I'm just going to get a latte and sit outside and enjoy the day. And I totally could have done that. And I didn't do that at all. Really, I wasted my own hour. So those are my big takeaways, and I'm excited to try it.
I love it. Thank you. Those are great takeaways. Yeah. Where can people find you?
All over the internet at Pia Loves Your Biz, BIZ. Or if you want to learn more about me, the best thing to do is grab my book, Badass Your Brand. You can actually download a free copy of it. It's a PDF copy at nobsagencies.com/book, or you can find it on Amazon and get the Kindle version or Audible. This was way deeper than I thought we were going to go. And I just so appreciate your brilliance and your friendship. So thank you so much for having me.
And thank you so much for joining us, Pia. This has been amazing. I'm so grateful that you were willing to come on the show and share all of this with us. And I hope our listeners got a huge amount out of this and took away some actionable tips for yourself. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe, please like, please share, and please comment. Please let me know what you got out of this podcast. I read all my comments and I would love to hear what your takeaways are and if you're going to use these practices as well. Okay, with that, have an amazing day and an exquisite life. Take care. I'm Amira Alvarez, founder and CEO of The Unstoppable Woman. Most ambitious women I work with already have good lives, possibly even great. But there's often this one area that is fine as is, but not yet exquisite. And yet, when we unlock that one area, they access a whole new level. I want to personally invite you to book a complimentary call with me and discover what that unlock
could do for you. These calls are for women who have done at least a million or more in their business or executive career and are ready for an exquisite life inside and out. You can book our conversation at theunstoppablewoman.com/connect.